Well, good morning, everyone. I am looking forward to the snow. How many of you guys think we are going to get like what they're calling for? Have trust in the weatherman. Let's hear it. How many of you are like, I've seen this before. This isn't going to happen. We're going to get a dusting out of this. Well, however it goes, hopefully everyone stays safe. We have been going through this series called Getting to Know Jesus. And we have been going through the book of John and looking at several of the miracles Jesus has done in order to get to know Jesus more and what he can do in our lives. Now today, we're going to be looking at Jesus walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water. But before we get into that story, I have another story to share with you. This is a story of my past, a fun part of my past, where a group of friends and I, from way back, this is a picture of us, and that's actually my car when I was in college, 1964 Mercury Marauder. Yep, thank you. My dad and I fixed it up, and we would cruise around in that. But that's a group of my friends, and most of those guys in that group I've known from elementary school. Some of those came along later in like middle school, high school. But I've known that group of guys for a long time. Some of those 20-plus years, we've been friends. All of them Christian men that have walked with me through all the ups and downs of life. And in our senior year of high school, we decided to do a senior week down at the beach. And we had a great time down there, creating a lot of fun memories down at the Jersey Beach. But after that week, we were like, that was pretty fun. Why don't we just continue to do this through college? We were starting to get busy. You know, all of us went off to different colleges and different things. And we're like, well, we kind of miss hanging out with each other. We don't really see each other as much as we did in middle school, high school. So let's try to get together, you know, for about a week during college. And we did that for a number of years through college. And then slowly one of them and after another got picked off by getting married. And so slowly time that they had and their availability slowly got less and less. And eventually, almost I think all of us in that group, except for one now, is married and have kids. And so what we used to do, a whole week together in the summer, has now whittled down to a very short weekend at a lake house that we get together and just reminisce, share some stories, encourage each other in our faith, and just have a lot of fun times. But one of the traditions that we started during these trips was before we would leave, we would go to Walmart, and we would get all the supplies that we needed. We'd pick up hamburgers, we'd pick up hot dogs, chips, soda, all the things we would need to get through our weekend together. But the thing that we began to do is that we started to pick out one personal item per person. Because if we wanted to have, let's say, that special bag of barbecue chips, believe me, a group of four or five guys in a weekend, that's not lasting long, okay? That's lasting a good couple hours with those guys. And so we said, okay, we get one personal item that we can add to the total. We'll put it all together. But if you want to get a special dessert, special drink, special snack, or a special food item, that can be your personal item. And we all promise not to touch that item while we were together that weekend. And this is something that actually has continued in Elizabeth and I's marriage, actually. When we go grocery shopping, you know, we get our community items that we need, different food items. But I usually get one or two personal items, stuff that I'm like, you know, Elizabeth, this is just for me. You know, this is my little corner of the fridge that you can't touch. And for me, my personal item is Coke Zero. Coke Zero is my drink. That's my favorite soda. And I just get that. I'm just like, you know, that's just for me. And if Elizabeth would go near that, oh man, yeah, like, watch out. That is my item. And she has a personal item or two at home, too, that I make sure. Even though sometimes she brings home something that looks pretty good, I'm like, okay, can't touch that. That's her personal item that she gets to have and enjoy. Now, do you have one of those personal items at home? Maybe it's a food item that you have or a drink item that you have at home that you would say is your personal item that you don't want your spouse or other family members getting to because you just want to enjoy it. And in your mind, you don't really have a category of someone coming close to that space. right? That it is not even wrapped around in your mind that someone else would eat that food or drink that you have in the fridge or the cupboard. And I started to think, I wonder if this is similar to our life with God. If this is similar to our life with God. And what I mean by that is, I wonder if we have 90% of our life where we say to God, you know, God, we want to share in life with you. And all these things that we have, we want to give to you. But God, there's like that 10% of my life, or maybe even 5%, that you say, this is just for me. This is just for me. And we're going to see today in this story of Jesus walking on the water and the disciples, we're going to see a group of disciples that had that mindset. We're going to see how Jesus changed their mindset and impacted them in their life. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and as you're turning there, get a little background and context to the passage we're going to be looking at. And as a reminder, last week we looked at the feeding of the 5,000. And Pastor Les walked us through that passage. And this passage we're going to be looking at is coming right at the coattails of that miracle. It is just continuing right into the story. We have Jesus feeding the 5,000, and the people there saw what happened, and they kind of went a little crazy. They said, Jesus is like our leader. Like, man, he can make all this food out of nothing. We want to make him our king. We want to make him our political leader. And in verse 15, we see that they wanted to force him into position. And this created somewhat of probably a chaotic scene that Jesus had to leave from. Jesus had to leave from, and the disciples also had to get out of town. They left together to leave this somewhat chaotic scene, and people were trying to put Jesus in a place that he really wasn't supposed to be in. And so he left to go up into a quiet place. Jesus left and went up into the mountain, probably to regather his thoughts, maybe have some time in prayer together with God. But the disciples, they went off, and we're going to pick up this story in verse 16 and see what the disciples were doing. Verse 16, chapter 6 of John. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. So let's kind of picture this in our mind about what's happening here. We know that John grew up as a fisherman. This lake that he was probably helping lead the disciples get their stuff together and push out onto the lake, it's probably something he did many times before in his life. His brother James also was a fisherman. So these disciples had a pretty decent idea of what it meant to be out on this lake. And we know that this lake was known for very quick storms and wind gusts to arrive to make the lake very rough. And so they're entering into this space, and just kind of put ourselves in their place. They have Jesus isn't in this scene yet. They may or may not know where Jesus is. They probably saw him walking up onto the mountain or a hill. And they're like, okay, well, you know, Jesus, you know, you're great. We love your teaching. You know, we've seen how impactful your teaching is. We just saw this incredible miracle you did on land. Man, Jesus, like, you're probably really powerful. You're an incredible teacher, but you just kind of, your space is on the land, right? Like, that's you. Like, we're fishermen, like, and we need to go out into this lake and do things our way. Okay, Jesus, you stay up there, and we'll just kind of do our thing out here on the lake. And as they pushed out, a storm started to come, and it says strong gusts started to blow across the lake and make the water rough. Now, this is something that they were probably familiar with. It probably didn't catch most of them off guard that this was happening. The text doesn't say that they were scared. The text doesn't actually even say that it was a storm of lightning and thunder. It just says that it's strong winds that came and that the water was somewhat choppy and rough. And so they may have had some fear a little bit about what could happen. But we can imagine that probably these 12 men or so in the lake with James and John, who were fishermen, who knew what they were to do, were just kind of plowing ahead. And it didn't really even enter their mind that Jesus would enter into this space. That was not a category that they had, because they had their personal space. They saw Jesus as someone who they would follow on land, that was very powerful on land, that did these miracles. But man, once you hit the water, that's their home territory. That's where they feel comfortable. That's where they do their work. So I wonder if you have an area of your life where it's similar to that. Maybe for you, it's a hobby. Where you say, you know, I work really hard. I do all these things, and I just need a good, like, Saturday morning, just to myself, get away. And God doesn't really even enter into that space. Like, it's not that you're necessarily keeping him away or blocking him, but it's not even a category that you have in your life. Or maybe for you, it's your finances. You say, man, I work really hard, you know, to earn this living that I have. And, man, I give money, you know, I give to the church, I give to other people in need, I provide for my family, but there's that 10% of my finances, or 20%, or how much was that, that's just for me, you know? Like, it's not really anything that I have a category for God with. Or maybe it's your time. Maybe you work really hard, maybe you're really busy, you're kind of pulled every other way, and Friday night comes along, and that's just unplug time. You know, God, I've been really working hard. I've been doing all these things. I've given you a lot, and I just need to unplug for a little bit. And maybe you watch TV. Maybe you watch your favorite shows, and those are good things. It's just God doesn't really enter into that space that we have in our life, where those 5-10% of our time, our resources, our hobbies, our interests, we just kind of see as our own. Maybe for you, it's your family or your kids. And you look at your most precious people in your life, and you say, you know, God, that's just for me. Like, yeah, I believe, like, you're in this, but, man, I want to manage my kids. I want to make sure, to the best of my ability, that I can control the environment that they're in and help them as much as possible in their life. And you struggle with giving God control of that part of your life. Or maybe for you, it's your marriage, where you say, man, I'm pretty good in all these other things, but man, I will do anything in my power. Now, I kind of see this as my 10%. God, you've done other things in my life. You've really hurt me in other ways, and this is my thing. What is it for you? And when you look at it, and you're honest with yourself, you say, yeah, I'm these disciples. I'm out here on this lake in these rough waters, and this is my space, right? God, I think you can work in other ways, but this is my wheelhouse that I operate in. And for you, you don't even really have a category in your mind or space in your mind that God could enter into. And we're going to see Jesus completely blow these men's categories out of the water. And let's continue in this passage. In John chapter 6, verse 19, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat. And so you can imagine the scene. It's windy, maybe there's some rain, and they're doing whatever they can in the boat. And they're working hard. And maybe, like, out of the corner of their eye, they see some figure starting to come across the lake, and maybe some catch it, and they're like, what is that, you know? And then all of a sudden, it gets a little closer, and they realize, oh, it's a person. There's a person walking towards us on a lake. This is kind of crazy, and you can now see maybe not just a few people out of the corner of the eye, they're starting to, like, all stare. Like, you ever walk in a room, and, like, everyone just stared at you, and it was, like, kind of awkward? Like, it's that moment where, like, you can imagine they probably stopped rowing. Like, what the heck is this? Who is this person coming towards us on a lake? I wonder if they even thought that it could be Jesus. And then all of a sudden, that person got close and they realized this is Jesus. And Jesus approached them on the lake. He walked on the water. You can imagine the emotions that they must have been feeling, especially John, who's the author of this book, that him as a fisherman starts looking out and saying, oh man, this space isn't just for me. Oh gosh, Jesus, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? Am I in trouble? Like, are you going to like split the water here that we read like in the Red Sea? And, like, what's going to happen here? Like, are you going to yell at us? Or are you going to provide us food? Do you have food for us? Like, what is about to happen? And Jesus approached this space that they could not wrap their minds around about what was happening, what was going on, that Jesus could even be in this space. And so they were fearful. They were fearful on the surface level, probably, of what is this? I didn't know people could walk on water. That would be an awe, reverence type of fear of, wow, Jesus, you continue to push past our expectations of who we think you are. And then Jesus says to them in verse 20, he says, but he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. It is I, do not be afraid. And as Jesus often speaks, he speaks to the surface level, but he also is speaking to a much deeper level. He wants them to not be afraid. Hey guys, it's me, Jesus. Don't be afraid. But I believe he's also speaking to those deeper fears. The words of Jesus are powerful. And the words of Jesus in this moment are extremely powerful. We saw in this past year, the most looked up Bible verse in all of 2020 was, do not be afraid. Fear is such a deep emotion that we have that can cause us to miss out on a lot of things. It causes us to put walls up to people and to God. When we have fear of letting something or someone into our life, a lot of things can go wrong. We can miss out on what God can do. When we fear another people group, and we think God can't possibly be in that group of people, there's fear under that. What if they win? That's fear. Maybe there's people in our lives that have hurt us in the past. Maybe a family member. And we say, I've been hurt before. I'm not doing that again. And that's fear of being hurt again. We have fear of letting go of control. God, what if I give those finances to you? Then I won't be able to retire and live the life that I want. That's fear. What if I give you this hobby of mine? What if I give you this time that I have? You start going through all these things, and the things that stop you and prevent you from letting Jesus in to those spaces, to those people, to your understanding of the world and our culture, is fear. And Jesus speaks to these disciples words that will probably resonate with them the rest of their life. As John, who we know ends up on the island of Patmos, exiled, alone on an island in the middle of the sea, he probably remembers these words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for it is Jesus. Jesus wants to come in. He wants to enter those spaces that you have walls up in. And so when we are able to allow Jesus in, something personal will happen. In verse 21, John says, "Then they were willing to take him into the boat. Once the fear resided, they were able to let Jesus in." They were willing to let Jesus in. Jesus named the fear. And they were willing to come in. They were willing to let Jesus come into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Now here, this passage is actually called kind of the double miracle passage, because Jesus walks on water. But then there's also this very mysterious event that occurs that scholars, theologians, pastors struggle to understand. No one really knows exactly what happened that night on the lake. We just know that once Jesus entered the boat immediately got to its destination. And that's all the text says. We could picture it maybe just speedboating across. Maybe it transported. We don't really know what happened. We know that it was some sort of miraculous thing that occurred. But we also know who knows what happened. The only people that really truly know what happened that night were the disciples. It was a very personal thing that happened that was really only between the disciples and Jesus. Jesus was trying to touch the hearts of these disciples. And this passage in chapter 6 is kind of like a blip on the radar. The whole passage is about the bread of life. It is about the miracle that Pastor Les talked about last week. This is kind of like parentheses around the main idea of the chapter. And so they're kind of in the middle of this life. They're kind of in the middle of all these scenes happening. And all of a sudden, this like question mark happens. Like, what was that? And when you let Jesus in, and you let your walls down, you surrender that part of your life to Jesus, he will do something in your life that is only between you and him. You can try to explain it to other people, but it will never truly capture the intimacy of what happened in that moment between you and Jesus. And there may be something today that you've been wrestling with, and that you've been struggling to let go of and to surrender to Jesus and to let him in. From this story this morning, we see that Jesus is approaching that space this morning. Jesus wants you to let him in. And I hope that we can let him in. I hope that we move towards love and not fear. I hope that we move towards wanting to let Jesus into those spaces that it gets a little uncomfortable. Because he wants you to grow. He wants to do a work in your heart that is extremely personal and will only be known between you and him, and that you can take joy in after this life. When you meet Jesus on the other side of the lake, proverbially, after this life is passed and you meet Jesus and you wrap your arms around him, that moment, it'll just be between you and him. You'll know that he did a work in your life. You don't have to try to explain it. You don't have to try to share it exactly how it happened. I encourage you to share it, but really it's between you and Jesus. And what is that thing? What is that thing that's personal that you've kept to yourself, that space that you've not allowed God into? And I hope that you can let Jesus in. This morning, just to recap, we looked at this passage in John. We saw that this was a continuation of the miracle of feeding the 5,000, and we continued right into this miracle of walking on water. We saw that we tend to have that 10% of just our personal space, our personal items with our relationship with God and our life with God. We saw that Jesus wants to enter into that space and maybe is even approaching you this morning in that space. And we saw that there is something extremely powerful and personal when we allow God to enter into that very personal and maybe messy space in our life. We hope that we can continue to do that in our life, and we pray that this week will be a very personal, very powerful, and hopefully a week that grows in your love for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, we don't know who's here today that maybe has for a long time just kept a small part of their life to themselves. Lord, we pray that they'd be opened up, you'd be able to open them up this week to receive you into that aspect of their life and to be able to see the miraculous things that can occur and the path you'll take them on because of that. Lord, we pray that we would continue to move towards surrendering our whole life to you because you are truly the Lord of all. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus, that he loves us and wants to come into those spaces. Lord, we thank you for just what you're going to do in our life this week. We look forward to that. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.